Santa Davis was crucial in Soul Syndicate, which played with the late Peter Tosh.
So I suggest you just fasten your seatbelts. Extinguish all cigarettes.
We will talk about that at the top of the hour. Bless.
You're about to take off.
The drummer out on this one, yeah. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, we have Santa Davis online. Carlton Santa Davis, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right, beautiful, beautiful. And we just want to tone this down so we can talk now. Okay, I just had a call from my brother Tony Rankin, and I'm so excited, my brother. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, this is original drummer from Soul, one of the original drummers from Soul Syndicate, Carlton Santa Davis, and a host of other artists that he's performed with. He's on the line right now.
Yeah, man. Greetings.
Yes, man. Yes, man. And you want to tell the people about what we were just listening to?
Oh, you mean the live show?
Yes, tell them about Pete.
Yeah, man. That was a show we did. That was back in 1983, live at the Greek Theater in Los Angeles. You know, and that was really an exciting show. You know what I mean? Yeah, because, you know, every time I meet somebody, they were like, man, I just listened to that live show. You know what I mean? So it's like that got on in history. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
man. You know, I got that from the honorary citizen. You know, the box set that came out a few years ago. I guess I got it from Roger Steffens.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, man. So and then I was also playing with Earl, playing some Earl Zero.
Oh yeah.
And also playing some. From the new DAZN CD, which I really like it. And that tune with the vocal, I Am.
Yes, I.
That's you, brother?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Hey, well, we got to let the listeners know that, when they say give the drummer some, because the drummer don't get no recognition, but this drummer get much recognition for those that really know the music. And
right.
Now we can hear Brother Carlton on the vocals, which is Yes Man, Yes Man.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for me, you know, I don't really consider myself like a singer per se, but, you know, sometimes you find something that kind of like fits you, you know what I mean? So it's all right. Because this song in particular, it came through like a vision, like I was actually sleeping, and it was like about, you know, maybe 3-4 o'clock in the morning, and all of a sudden, I just start getting this dream. And I was wondering if I was really sleeping or what, you know what I mean? I was awake, but then I actually got up and said, you know what? You know, like sometimes you get a vibe, and you say, I don't wait until I get up and then I do it and I write it or whatever. But for some reason, I said, well, this might be a moment where I might never capture this moment again, you know what I mean? So I just got up like about 4:30 in the morning, went to my little studio room, and just start writing, and it was like somebody was dictating the words to me, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I just start writing the song, and then I say, okay, when it lights out, I'm just going to go back in the studio and put the rhythms together. So I just went in there, write it down, make sure I got everything down, and, you know, and it was like a brainstorm, because I never, you know, it's like they say sometimes, you know, when writers get into a zone, they just start, you know, just write, you know? And that for me was like a real occasion where, you know what I mean, I just actually start writing like somebody was actually talking to me, you know what I mean?
Wow.
So I just put the words down and then said, okay. And then for me, music is a vibration. I don't really like to think about it too much. You know, like sometimes some artists or some people, they think and they bust their brains out. I just like, so, you know, whatever comes, whatever the vibes is, you know what I mean? I just deal with it. Because music for me is just natural. It's not nothing, it's not anything where you fight, because you can't fight the music, you know. So I just did that and then went back later on in the studio and I just put the bass line down. I just put it on a click track, laid the bass line down myself, you know, and then went back and do the drums, because that's how I do a lot of my stuff, because it's kind of hard to get musicians to come over when you need them, you know? And
right.
For me, when a vibe hit me, I have to do it right then, you know? So I have everything in the studio, so I just did that, laid the bass line down, went back, did the drums, then went back and did the keyboards, and just start building from there, you know what I mean? And then later on, I called in my friend, who's a great guitar player, who works with me all the time, and he put the guitar down, and that was it. You know what I mean? So, you know, for me, sometimes I just say something just a real occasion, and, you know, I won't put myself out there as this singer. You know what I mean? I'm still, you know, the drummer, you know what I mean? But at the same time, if a vibe hit me, then, hey, you know, just go ahead and deal with it, you know?
Well, we want to let the listeners know how much of an important drummer you have been in the scheme of things in reggae music.
Yes, sir.
When did you start? Can we let the listeners know, give them an idea when you started your journey in reggae music?
Well, my journey started like 1969, you know, and I was like 16 back then, you know what I mean? Long time ago.
Yeah, man.
And actually before that, I was in a drum corps called the St. Peter Claver Drum Corps. And that's where I actually started when I was 11 years old. And, you know, as a kid growing up, you know, you needed something to keep you off the street, you know, because it's either the street or something positive. And I say, you know what, I don't want to deal with, all the negative stuff. I don't want to grow up setting bad example. And that was 11 years old, I made that decision. I said, look, you know what, I want to do something that's going to make me be somebody and help me to influence others, you know what I mean, along the way. So I started in drum corps, and then, you know, I grew up in that, you know. We used to do a lot of parades and marching and all that stuff. And then, you know, I just continued from there. And in 1969, you know, I got into, you know, the old, you know, the reggae thing and all that, you know, and just started playing from then. And my first gig was with a group. This guy's name was... Coffee Cali, and he used to be like a Coltrane type of person. Uh-huh. He used to play like an alto sax, and he had this group. He used to play like jazz and reggae. I didn't know anything about jazz, but that's what he used to do. And you know, I was a fast learner, so you know, everything kind of developed from there, you know. And then I didn't know the Soul Syndicate. I ended up playing with them, but that connection was made long before, because me and Foley and his family, we were like family before that, you know what I mean? So
you live next to Foley?
Yeah, I was like down the street from Foley, and as a young kid, you know, my mom, you know, I grew up with a single parent, and you know, when she had to go somewhere to take care of business, she always leave me over by Foley's mom's house, you know? So that's a connection, you know what I mean?
Okay.
And then from there, that's where it blossomed from, you know what I mean?
So when did the other musicians like Tony Chen and Cleon and Chenna, when did those brethren come in?
Oh, well, Foley, Tony, and Cleon, they were actually foundation members of Soul Syndicate. Because before the name Soul Syndicate come about, they were called the Rhythm Raiders. You know what I mean? And I guess, you know, as time evolved, they're kind of like, you know, we need a more, you know, maybe a more pronounced name, something that can, you know what I mean, at least get to the people. So they came up with Soul Syndicate. That's when I got into the group.
Ah.
And Chinna came into the group like way after Clay and Douglas left, because back in them days, you know, like in the early 70s, you know, a lot of people were migrating to America and, you know, stuff like that. And his mom, Cleon's mom, They were migrating to the States, and I think that's when he decided to leave. And then Chinna came into the group kind of like a singer, because he was playing guitar, but he wasn't really like a proficient guitar player at the time, you know. But he was a singer, and he came in and fully had a guitar there. And he was like, hey, can I borrow that guitar, you know? And, you know what I mean? And Fully's family, they were great people, you know, his dad and his mom, they were real great people, they encouraged us. I tell you, they're like the driving force behind what we became, because they provided, and just rehearsed, they provided that. They paid the electricity, they had the equipment, you know what I mean? So that was really part of what got us to where we are today, you know? And
wow.
Chinna, I mean, he's a workhorse, because, you know, he practiced. And that's why he's so good, because he sleeps with his guitar, you know what I mean? And I mean, you know, I have to say, because we grew up together, you know, me and Chinna, we were like, we still are, we are like brothers, you know what I mean? He's playing the guitar, we used to, you know, roam around the place, go to different friends' houses, we hang out, eat food, what have you know what I mean? And just play music. That was our daily life, you know what I mean? But Chinna, he practiced, and he practiced, and he practiced. until, you know, he's what he is today. So, yeah, you know, that's when he came in, and that's when everything started getting more groomed, because we worked so much together that we were a tight-knit group. You know, we would play songs, and people would be like, that sounds like the record. You know, people would be outside the venue, and they would come in thinking that it was a discotheque or something, because we lived it. We lived the music constantly, you know what I mean? And we were in the studios, and we were on the stage. So it was just...
I want to ask you, Santa, about the studios and some of the producers you might have worked with. And the first one I'm going to mention is a brethren that I know and loved him. It was Keith Hudson.
Keith Hudson, yeah, man.
So you...
That came about from in the 70s, too, because, you know, we were a young group of musicians, you know what I mean? And, you know, there wasn't so many, like... There was a lot of groups, but then, you know, you have a lot of producers who always seeking for people to work for them, and they always like to work with groups back then. And I don't quite remember how the connection came about, but then we started working with him back, like, in the early 70s, where he came, and we went to the studios and did a couple of tracks, and it went on from there. We did a song called Riot. I think it was a...
Yeah, man.
It was I think it was a song that Hugh Masekela did.
I know that. Yeah, with the trumpet yeah, line in it. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I know that one.
And we did that one, and we had a trumpeter called Dizzy. He passed away since then.
Yeah, man. I just saw it on the internet yesterday, man. He passed away. Just passed away. Wow. Yeah.
So, you know, you name it, man. We work at everybody because... You know, we were young, humble, you know, and also progressive. So we're thinking, we're always dealing with this thing all the time. So, you know, we used to attract a lot of record producers, you know.
How was it working with Peter?
Oh, Peter, I mean, that was a different ball game, you know what I mean? That was where the whole spiritual thing set in, you know, because Peter, as you know, he was convicted to what he was doing, you know what I mean? And working with Peter, I think, gave me a lot of strength because he was real open as far as music. He was real creative. And whatever he did, you could feel it. You know, it wasn't something that was any kind of ego trip or any kind of thing like that. He was always into what he was doing, and he was aware of the situations that was going on around him, you know, both in Jamaica and the world, you know what I mean? So he was closely connected to situations as far as, you know, the suffering of the people and the rights of the people. So he was more, as I say, on the spiritual, political side of the thing. And I mean, that to me is like a real connection to reality, you know what I mean? And working with him, like, it was like, it's kind of hard to explain sometimes, because everything was like the moment, you know what I mean? He was the same kind of musician like I am. You know, maybe I'm the same kind of musician he was, you know what I mean? That he was spontaneous, you see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir, yes, sir.
He was real spontaneous, and he was real open as far as, you know, allowing musicians to, like, do their thing. You know, he would come with his songs, and we would just play. It wasn't anything that there was any big arrangement idea, arguments or whatever. It was not an argument. We just started playing. And whatever comes, and that's, if you listen to all of his songs, it wasn't anything that was kind of like, yeah, I mean, you have arrangements, but then at the same time, it wasn't a lot of pressure. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So working with Peter was, he allowed the freedom, because he used to call us his soldiers. He was a general, and we were his foot soldiers, you know what I mean? And I can say I was proud to be a foot soldier as far as, you know, working with him, because he was a great leader. You see what I'm saying?
Can I share with the audience how we even came about doing the interview, simply from how we linked up is when I told you about 1987 and me listening to Ani Kamozi introducing the band, and I heard Santa Davis, and I said, wow, how could that be? and you want to let the listeners know about how important you are in Peter's life, and that you were there when all this stuff went down, when Peter was murdered.
Yes, sir.
And the whole thing about the bullet in the arm, which is it still there, Santa?
Yeah, I still have a bullet. I'm kind of like a bionic man right now.
You were bionic back then, brother.
Yeah, I still have a bullet large, pretty close to my spine right now.
Wow.
It's kind of in that area.
Right.
But it's not a trip. It's not a trip. They say, because when I came up to Los Angeles, I went up to UCLA,
mm-hmm.
and I was kind of like, talking to a couple of doctors. I visited one, and he kind of did some exams, and he was back. He said, look, he said to me, don't be John Wayne and try to pull a bullet out of you right now, because he said that where that bullet is, it would have to get the same kind of velocity for it to do anything to your body. It's actually encased in, like, flesh, I think, you know? So he said, look, now, he said to me, now you're a bionic man, because, you know, he said, where it is, it can't do any damage, you know? And thank God it wasn't copper, you know what I mean? Because when you have the difference between the copper and lead is that the copper moves.
Mm.
It keep moving. See, if that was copper, I wouldn't be here today.
Wow.
You know?
And I'm grateful, and I know your family was grateful for just that whole experience, man,
of
being in a place where, you know, you say, well, you shouldn't have been there, but Josh said you should have been there at the time, and what came about. I mean, you're here today, and give thanks for that, because
come on, can you see, Peter was my friend, you know, it was my friend, my brethren, teacher. You know, leader. It's like a whole thing. You know what I mean? And even though he's not here today, a lot of what I do, most of what I do, it's kind of like in tribute to him. You know what I mean? Because there's not a day that go by that I don't, like, you know, think of him and say, well, you know, this is what Peter that do. And you know what I mean?
So
to me, I can't erase that memory, and by me being there at that moment when the whole thing kind of like culminated, it was like a destiny, it was like something to show me. You know what I mean? I don't know what it is, you know, but you know it was a sad moment. But it's like I tell a lot of people, which I don't say this to everybody, but I have since had a lot of visions of Peter, and the first vision that I got with him after the incident, it's like I saw him working out. He was like dripping wet, and he was smiling.
Mm.
You know what I mean? He was working out, you know, and there was this bright smile. Kind of when Peter smiled, it's like the biggest smile I ever seen. And I saw that same smile. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
So I know. You know that, where I just say people pass on, but it's just a flesh thing. I think the spirit is where it is. You know what I mean? The spirit is back with the bubble, in the bubble of life. You know what I mean?
The spirit and the music, he left a legacy of music here, you know?
Yeah, man. And, you know, people have to remember that. People have to respect what he did and stuff like that. You know, and I mean, I still remember, you know, whenever I play, I still play with that same intensity as far as, you know, when we used to work together, because that time was like a powerful time, you know what I mean? It still lives within me, you know what I mean?
And I think Peter should get the props to know that out of all of the three of them, that Peter was the musician. He was really...
Exactly.
He was the musician, man.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you see, Peter was an innovator. He was a man who created, like, vibration, you know what I mean? And the same thing with Bob and Bunny, you know, they were all brilliant. I mean, they, you know,
in their
brilliant
own right.
Musician and brilliant writers within their own right, you know?
Yeah, man. And you want to say something about the one who carried the legacy is Ziggy, because I know over in the phone conversation, we talked about Ziggy and what a lot of people don't know about Ziggy as an artist and as what he does. Can you let the listeners know about that, Santa?
Well, you know, by me working with Ziggy right now, I learn a lot. Because Ziggy is really committed to his music. He's very passionate about what he does, you know? And, you know, a lot of people ask me, you know, like, his debut album, his solo album, and people were, like, saying to me, what's going on? Ziggy don't do reggae again and whatever. I said, well, look, you know, Ziggy's a musician, and Ziggy's exploring. You have to allow people to explore, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But you have to listen to the message. Don't just think of, rhythm have to be reggae all the time, because that is our foundation. So we can always flirt with the idea, and as long as we get the message across, then it's not a big deal. Just listen to the message, because that is even important than just the rhythm, you know, because you can play a bunch of rhythm all day, all night, and yeah, all you get is just some fun and stuff. But we talk about substance, you know, we talk about, you know, reality, life, you know, culture, spirituality, whatever. Then you have to deal with the lyrics and the contents of what the music is all about. So, you know, Ziggy right now, you know, I feel good working with him, because as far as where the music is concerned, he knows what he wants, and he knows where he's going, you know what I mean? And I'm not just saying this because I'm working with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just saying it because of what I see. You know, because I've worked with almost everybody who's anybody in the business, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I see the same thing in him that was in his father, you know what I mean? Because Bob was a visionary, and Ziggy's the same. You know, Ziggy always thinking, you know, he check Ziggy always thinking, and people sometimes might see him and say, why him don't talk too much, I'm don't socialize, blah, blah, blah. But because he's a thinker, you know? It's not that him don't like people, or him don't, I'm angry or whatever. But he's just a thinker. He's serious about what he does.
And something you said about what he does as far as helping people.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He has this organization called Urge. And it's something that he does, I think, you know, help, you know, like underprivileged kids. You know what I mean? And he's in the process of doing, he does a lot of things that people don't even know about, because, you know, Ziggy's kind of like the modest individual way. I'm not going to come on TV like some people and, yeah, I did this and I donated this to that. You know, but he's got this thing called Urge. And if you go on his website, you go on the ziggymarley.com thing, it can explain a lot to you, you know? So he does a lot of, like, you know, humanity and work around, you know, to little kids and, you know, sing and give them vibes. And, you know, he does a lot, man. You know, but, I mean, he doesn't go around blowing his trumpet all over the place. You know what I mean?
Well, let me ask you about you and Soul Syndicate. Have ever thought about really coming together and doing I'm sure you've done reunion kind of thing where you get some of the original members. Well, I know you're not going to get Cleon Douglas. Nobody can find Cleon. I email him. We know where he is, but he don't like the phone. He don't like the internet too much. But, you know,
yeah.
I would love to hear some of that, you know, some of the old sounds coming back together, you know, like Tony and Fully and you and Chenna and, you know, has that happened at any time?
Well, that hasn't happened in a long, long time. I don't know, because I mentioned it a couple of times. I don't know what the problem is. You know, I've said it many a time. I would love for that to happen, because I don't have a problem with that. It's just that everybody's on their own to the trip right now.
Yeah,
I mentioned it a couple of times. Hey, you know, this would be nice for us to. This is how I ended up doing this album. Because I was thinking that it would be good for all of us to come together. But you see, I don't know, just like a lot of groups, it's kind of hard to bring people back together sometimes, because, you know, over time, people kind of grow into their own way and
right.
have their own little thing that they do. And I don't know if it's a fear or I don't know what it is, because I've mentioned it to Fully a lot of times. Hey, man, you know, we need to come together and put an album together, and all I get is just, yeah, but it never materialized, you know what I mean?
Well, it needs some more urgent. As long as there's no bad blood, man, it just needs a little bit.
No. There's no bad blood. It's just that I don't know. I think it just needs maybe for the public or the people who love Soul Syndicate for really start lobbying, you know, to start lobbying for that.
Serious,
but,
man.
I mean, I am down with that. I mean, you know what I mean? If for some reason they say, let's do that tomorrow, I'll be ready. You know what I mean? But at the same time, you know, there's a lot of things that have to be ironed out. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But there's no bad blood or anything. It's not anybody not liking anybody or anything like that. It's not one of them kind of thing. It's just that, you know, just to get people together under the same roof and say, let's do this like how we used to do it. You know what I mean? I think that is really the teeth puller right now. You know what I mean?
Well, you know what Larry McDonald said to me? He said, Charles, you be meaning well when you be trying to hook up things. But, you know, sometimes over the years, some people, you don't know why they're not together no more.
it's true. Because like Fuller right now, Fuller's doing his thing, you know what I mean? He's got his thing going,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't worked with Fuller like maybe a couple of years, you know what I mean? We did a couple of like studio stuff here and there. But he's in his own zone right now. He's doing whatever he's doing, he and Tony and them. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, you know, I think sometimes when people reach a point where they get relaxed in doing certain things, I think, you know, it's like you grow into yourself and you figure, well, you know, I feel more comfortable doing this instead of the group. Because we've been a group for years. We still are. You know what I mean? It's just that, you know, I don't know, you know, I mean, there's been some issues over the years, yeah? Because like in a group, in a family then,
of course,
always going to be some kind of problem, some things happen, and you know what I mean? People kind of get scared and don't want to do this or do that, you know? But there's nothing that cannot be mended, you know what I mean? There's no wound that cannot be healed, you see what I'm saying?
Right.
But it's just to get everybody thinking on the same page, you know? You see what I'm saying?
Well, listen, who have you been playing with lately? Have you been doing some performing live with anybody lately?
Well, of course, I mean, Ziggy right now is really like one of the main things, but I just did a small run with the Wailing Souls, which, you know, I used to work with like from way back in the day.
How was that? How did that turn out, man?
It was nice. We did a couple of clubs and, you know, and we did Reggae on the River, which is not like the Reggae on the River that it used to be, because you know those people, they had a breakaway, so you have two different things going on. You know, you have the Reggae Rising and you have Reggae on the River, and you know.
That's what I'm
saying. But it was a nice gathering, you know. It was nice. But, you know, it was a nice, it was like 2-3 weeks run. Just on and off. We did like a week here and take a day and then, you know, so. But that was nice.
Well, you know, I think we want to get back to the music, and I think that the listeners have a little clue as to Carlton Santa Davis's past and how important you are in the scheme of things in creating this music that we listen to today, you know, because this is what I like to tell the listeners, that you need to know some of these foundation musicians because they're becoming very scarce. Because you know, I don't have to tell you, is a drum machine or all kind of computers can, well, you don't even need but one person, maybe don't even need anybody anymore, you know, it's like,
right.
And it's, but to me, been there and from that time to this time, know what it is to hear a live drummer, a live bass player, guitar, you know, the whole works.
Right.
And the spirituality in that.
Right.
And I just want to say, in leaving, we're going to, man, the CD done gone to sleep. The CD player done gone to sleep. But I got something queued up here to track 11 on your CD.
Yeah.
Positive, Negative.
Well, that song, it's kind of suggestive, you know, because what it is, you know, you say positive people don't mess with negative people. Then it's just for you to just think of the rest of the song. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
So it's all suggestive because I'm quite sure that everyone in their life, you know, run into the same situation. So it's kind of one of these kind of songs where you just think it. You know what I mean? Just, you know, just suggestive. You know.
And we got some listeners that really regard you as one of their favorite drummers and, you know, Syracuse, and I'm sure we got them in Europe, and you just want to say something to the listening audience and something to leave we can leave for the youth that's listening?
Yeah, well, I would say, you know, I really do appreciate all the people who I've touched over the years, you know, and really appreciating them, appreciating what I do, you know, mm-hmm. because I do for the people. It's not anything about me, you know. It's not about me. When I go around the drums and when I start playing, I think of, you know, inspiring the people, you know. So for all the listeners who over the years been listening to my playing and, you know, watching my shows, the show that I've played on, you know, I must say, you know, just the whole thing is all about spirit, you know. It's a spiritual thing, cause for me, music is really, it's not a hype. For me, it's not a hype, because, as I say, I grew up in the church, you know what I mean? So I guess I translate that within the music even today, as a spiritual form, a way of healing people's soul and, you know what I mean, getting people in a positive frame of mind, you know what I mean? So to all the people who, you know, been listening to my drumming over the years and really, you know, I must say enough respect, you know what I mean? And to all the young drummers out there, just think of music as a natural vibe. Don't fight it, because music is a spiritual thing. The music has feelings. The music has soul, you know? So what you have to do is that when you approach music with an open mind, because the music also speaks to you. So you have to listen. You know, it's like, you know, as Bob Marley said, if you listen carefully, you'll hear. God is a natural mystic blowing through the ear. So all these things are not just words. It's reality, because the music have an ear. So when you play, you also listen. And a lot of things that I do many times, people say, they think I practice a lot of these things. No, I don't, you know. While I'm on the journey, then the music said to me, I want this, you know, and then I keep communicating back and forth. So this is my approach. And I would say, you know, all, you know, young musicians, yeah, drum machine, you know, it's all good, you know, drum machine, all right, you know, whatever. But real drums that live on forever. You have to think of ancient Africa, you know what I mean? Because that's where the whole thing came from, the drums, you know, hitting on tree trunks and whatever, you know, and that's natural, you know what I mean? So I always approach the music with a natural vibration.
And let me just say,
approach it on a God level, because that's what the whole thing is, you know.
That's what it is, and I want to say something to you, and I feel this. I have a great long term memory, and a pretty good long term memory, and I'm gonna take. You say you play with a lot of different musicians. You play with Pablo Moses, I'm sure.
Oh yeah.
I'm gonna take you back to 1982, brother, at the Palladium in New York City on 14th Street. I was there.
Okay.
And you know what I remember vivid in my what was vivid in my memory, Santa, is I said, man, I never seen a drummer do what this brother's doing before the set. You was literally jogging back and forth backstage.
I mean, you see, it's just like anything. It's like the athlete, you know.
Serious.
The Olympic runners, you know, they have to warm up. You know, you have to get yourself, and they're not just loosening their you know, their limbs and joints or whatever. They are also loosening their mind, you know.
Yes, sir.
And
they're
also getting themselves, you know, worked up into that vibe. It's kind of vibration.
It is.
It's a vibration.
You know? I never forgot that, man.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Well, listen, I really am appreciate love you calling, and I'm sure the listeners that's locked under either the internet or the radio, and I want to say a special thank you to Soul Syndicate all over the years, and big up to all the friends that we know out there on the West Coast. You know, Anna Fisher always speaks highly of you, you know, so.
Yeah, man.
And big up, Tony.
Good person, you know?
Yeah, man, and big up Tony. You know, and big up Fully Forward.
You see the funny thing, we still communicate to the car. Every now and again, I call him. I just spoke to him like maybe 2 weeks ago. He just came back from Europe, you know. So we still communicate. There's, you know, we still communicate, man.
Well, I would love to talk to him further, because he did call here when they were doing the thing with Junior Marvin. You know, going on that tour. I think it might have been going to Europe, the Bob Marley and Peter Tosh. Where was it?
The Tosh Meet Marley thing.
Yeah. He called here and when they was doing it over here. But I didn't talk long enough, so you know. And then Chinna is another one, because every time I see Chinna, and it's been years, it's like, yeah, man, you got to come. He tell me you got to come to Jamaica, and we can really reason. I said, well, you know, I guess I can. You know, I ain't been there since 89, but, you know, I would love to just have a whole, if I could get all of you together, brother, just reason.
Well, you know what? You see, like how you put it out there? You see, like how you're putting it out there? Because you know? I view everything as, everything have a reason, you know. So you have a thing called cause and effect. The vibe that you're putting out right now, I know that some way, somehow, it will pull that energy. Because the whole thing is all about energy.
Yes, sir.
You know? And once, you know, me talking about this right now, and for sure, it will materialize if the Father sees it that way, you know what I mean? But the fact that you're putting the vibe out there, you know, I think it's a great possibility, you know?
And the greatest thing is that we stay linked together, man.
Definitely, man. You know, it's all about being, you know, humble. Because, I mean, we all, as people, we all have some kind of ego. But my ego is not the over-inflated ego where I start think about me and who me is and all that. Because a lot of time, people come up to me and, you know, coming to me with this revered kind of thing. And I'm like, no. I am no better than you, my brother. I am just the man who is fortunate enough to be doing what I'm doing and my name is out there and stuff. But I am not, as I said before, I am just a link in the chain.
You see
what I'm saying?
And with that note, we're going to check this out a little bit, see if we got it.
Yes.
Now, which one is that?
That's positive, negative.
All right, man. So we want to thank you, and we're going to ease into it some more. And we'll talk, my brother.
Yeah, man.
Blessed love.
Yeah, man. Job blessings and love to all the people.
Yes, I, Santa.
Yes, I. Bless.
One love.
Yes, I.
Negative people, don't mess with positive people. Positive people, don't mess with negative people. Negative people, don't mess with positive people.